using, say, Silicon Valley as a reference again, you know, the protagonist was really focused on the tech, right? Building out Pied Piper, building this next internet. And, you know, what was missing and what I thought could have been done better was really for him and for Pied Piper thinking about the business applications out the gate. So, you know, one of the tools and one of the ways I've been kind of working on figuring out that is using a tool called Canonizer and this concept of a lean canvas. So this is actually an example of the lean canvas for CardCraft. And, you know, a lean canvas essentially is a back of the napkin way of figuring out your business plan. It doesn't have to be thousands upon thousands of pages. This is something that you would normally put together using a set of post-it notes or a whiteboard, and this is just a digital version. So when it says comes to CardCraft, I've identified three problems. For example, people forget to send cards. They don't remember to send them on time. Sending cards can be time consuming. And in this case, for me, folks feel like they should send cards, but they don't. And that could be for any number of reasons. So you kind of list out your problem, what your proposed solution would be. You know, once again, being an engineer, spending a lot of time at Intel, I think about process and automation. So could we automate the card sending process? Is there a way that we could simplify it, make sending a card as easy as, you know, sending a text message from your phone? And could we now use technology to become sort of a second brain for us, right? We're already using it for so many other things. How can we use it to maintain our relationships and stay better in touch? That's kind of what the Lean Canvas allows you to do, really kind of figure out what the problem you're trying to solve is and what your solution is going to be, as well as other things like, well, what are your key metrics? If I'm building an app that's going to allow folks to select greeting cards from artists all over the world, and, you know, I want this thing to do really well, well, maybe keeping track of how many users signed up would be a great way to see how I'm progressing, or the number of site visitors for a web application. And, you know, this goes into a lot of detail where, in my case, what I love about our solution is we actually have a handwriting robot called Ravi the robot that helps with that and plans to do machine learning so that, you know, we learn how to mimic your handwriting. But this kind of a format is super helpful because it lets you really think about the business pieces in a way that doesn't bog you down in page upon page, but helps you think about what your unique value proposition is, what your unfair advantage is going to be, who your customer is going to be. For me, for example, grandparents, Generation Xers, millennials, people that have high ticket or service businesses. And then probably the most important and probably at the base, at the bottom, is how much is it going to actually cost? And what are those costs, as well as how do we make money, right? Because I heard a saying that anything, a venture that doesn't make money is a hobby.
All right. I want to go back up real quick that you've got that unfair advantage. What do you mean by unfair advantage there?
Love that question. Let's take a look at the first bullet point or the first item, cheap development costs. Well, the reason it's cheap development cost is because I'm the main developer, right? What I found in being both an entrepreneur and then also helping other people build their technology, they spend a lot of money on the software development aspects and pieces. And usually out the gate, that could be prohibitive because you haven't vetted the idea. You don't know if it's going to make money. So it's tough to kind of pony up, say, 100K to get to a proof of concept. So why is that an unfair advantage? Well, the only thing that's going to cost me is time and effort. So that becomes a competitive advantage against my competitors, where they may have to actually pay for their software development. I'm just putting in time. And then once again, for this idea, I decided out the gate that design and top-notch design would be key to our strategy. Essentially, we would source not just cards that you would find in the greeting aisle, but a bunch of designers and the best designers that we could possibly find, so that when you come to our app, right, you want to send a card that, or a postcard in this case, that says, yo, I miss your face. So when you think about an unfair advantage, what you really want to think about is how you're going to differentiate yourself. And then how are you going to make it so that you can go up against the Hallmarks of the world or the papyruses of the world. And for me, this has kind of been my approach. One of the other ones I'm going to point out, and this one is just important in general because of what we discussed earlier about the fact that startups and businesses take longer than we think, is that I have a long runway. I'm lucky and I'm blessed and fortunate in that I have a day job at Microsoft. So, if this idea takes off tomorrow, or if it takes off 5 years from now, I have that time. And that to me is a competitive advantage, because during that time, a business who's spending a lot of their development budget on building their proof of concept, right, they may actually end up going out of business. So these are some examples of unfair advantages that you can think about when you're building your idea, or really kind of in that still formation phase.